Chapter 30, Part 3. When power has reached its peak, people and things become old. We would like to repeat a phrase from Chapter 30 of the Tao Te Ching. The person who is truly good strikes only once, effectively, and then stops. Picture the astral state of a governmental center, anywhere in the world, and think of what we have been saying about these things. Then you will see all kinds of astral eddies above and around the central focus of that governmental center, which is the object of so much resentment. And these eddies resemble a cluster of dark clouds aglow with red and vivid yellow flames, in which the mental and emotional state of an entire nation is expressed. This astral concentration is strongly magnetic, generating many ties with influences and forces present in the astral field surrounding the world, and attracting whatever is in equilibrium with it. And that is how, via its government, every nation receives what it has invoked and therefore deserves. This is an immutable law. Since this astral process is at work in every nation, one can see that it, in fact, is what keeps the whole nature of death the way it is. And because it is impossible to bring this chain of events to a standstill, humanity is heading for a crisis, an end phase, in which the impact of this astral burning will be felt to such an extent that a conflagration by astral fire is bound to ensue. Truly a discouraging end. In this way, life comes and goes without change, unless humanity totally changes its approach to life. Nevertheless, even in the midst of this sad reality, the truly good human being, the sage, acts to ensure that a harvest of human souls can still be gathered and brought onto the arc of evolution and deliverance, and then guided further along it. The person who is truly good, says Lao Tzu, acts once, with power. What this means is that the community of the truly good ones, or those of its members, who have been chosen for this task, send out the astral power of Tao, the light power of the only good, to the astral nuclei or foci of a nation. This light power is quite unlike the astral concentrations we have been describing, for it differs not only in quality but also in vibration and power. That is why when the light forces of the only good, combined with the energies they attract from the all-encompassing astral field, come into contact with the astral foci of the nation, that contact is bound to be highly explosive. So in a certain, very special sense, one can really speak of violence in this situation, but it is a violence which is applied only once, and that one application is more than sufficient. And see what happens next. These light power projections have the effect of dispersing the astral concentrations of the nation and scattering them in all directions, so that every individual member of the nation is thrown back on his own resources. Each individual then not only experiences the results of personal and collective karma, but at the same time is brought into direct, personal and bodily contact with the light power of the universal life. This is a process from which no mortal being is exempt. That is what the holy language of the Apocalypse really means when it talks about the return of Christ and the last judgment. When a certain limit has been reached, the forces of the light intervene to restore the disturbed equilibrium of the solar macrocosm. The delusion that veiled reality is swept away, and in the resultant disarray, it is possible for the uplifting astral radiations of deliverance to make contact with each person individually, providing him or her with a new independent opportunity. Then it will have to be proved whether each individual possesses sufficient openness to receive the light of the only good and to live in its power. That is how the harvest is gathered. Such a crisis of separation and sifting develops at the end of every phase in humanity's progress. There are countless individuals who have become enmeshed in the astral doom of their people to such an extent that there remains no possibility of disentangling them from it until such a fire of judgment can be unleashed, but through this once-only intervention of the only good, justice can be done to such people too. So the intervention of the only good is always completely successful. When the concentration of the astral clouds has reached its peak, so that the time of the end has come, the only good takes action to return all living beings to the way of ways, as Lao Tzu calls it. But we need to be aware that this unavoidable action also has its tragic side. Tragic because of the fact that humanity has allowed things to go as far as that. That is why it is said of the sage that he strikes once in the right way, but does not boast of it. He strikes once in the right way, but is not proud of it. He strikes once in the right way, but only because he cannot do otherwise. He strikes once in the right way, but does not wish to seem strong and formidable. Once more, the human race has entered the Gog and Magog phase, so one can foresee what will happen to it now. The two groups into which humanity is divided have reached the peak of their power, and that is why Lao Tzu says, "When power reaches its peak, people and things become old. This means they are not equal to Tao, and whatever is dissimilar to Tao will soon cease to be." So one can see that this situation could also pose a threat to the spiritual school from time to time, for the spiritual school and its pupils, gathered in the living body, occupy an exceptional place in the midst of the people and their activities. In an absolutely real sense, those who participate in a spiritual school, a living body, are in the world, but not of the world. So a spiritual school stands aloof from the turbulence in which most nations are enmeshed, for in it, in the group, in the living body, exceptional astral conditions need to apply. But this is not always easy, for while every pupil needs to perform his task, his obligations in the world, he is also called to be not of this world, and that is why every pupil who has consciously chosen for the gnosis and is determined to walk the path needs to attune himself completely to the astral field of the school and should persistently refuse to make even a single astral concession to the nature of death. If we put it this way, you will see how problems and hazards can develop for the school and its living body. Suppose the majority of the group were to be attuned primarily to the nature of death, then the whole group, the entire living body, would inevitably be drawn into ordinary ways of acting and reacting and would soon come completely under the control of the astral field of the people. That would put any spiritual school in manifestation out of action. Its name could no longer be identified with its reality. So if a living body is put in jeopardy by being drawn into the astral turbulence of the nature of death, the closing words of chapter 30 of the Tao Te Ching are fulfilled. When power reaches its peak, people and things become old. This means they are not equal to Tao, and whatever is dissimilar to Tao will soon cease to be. From time to time, this pattern can also be observed in the way certain worldwide movements reach their peak, but then become outmoded and afterwards collapse. This happens because they do not pay enough attention to the dangers we have been explaining. The moment such an organization allows itself to be drawn into the stultifying flux of ordinary human behavior, everything goes wrong and all is lost. Now, this is something we also need to be careful about, for instance, with respect to our family life. So it is understandable that the leadership of a school like ours may well need to intervene occasionally to keep the school's astral center free of contamination. At such times, a single, decisive action will be taken so as to bring the life of the living body back to normal straight away. Think, in this context, of the archetypal image of the celestial ship used by the ancient Egyptians. A celestial ship must be able to sail. Where to? To the goal we are shown by the Gnosis. It must be able to attune itself completely to the sea of living water so that it will be able to sail on it. and not a single astral influence of the nature of death may be tolerated, because any influence of that kind would act as an anchor, restraining the ship in its passage. So if purifying action is taken, it is only to keep the ship of the living body on the right course, the way of ways, Tao. Thus the living body of the school is able to retain its quality and value as a place of real protection for all those who genuinely desire it. As long as it is granted to us, we will steer our celestial ship onward along the way of ways. And we very much hope that all of you will give us your cooperation. These words are addressed particularly to all those who are collaborating in the holy work, and especially to the nucleus group. We ask you especially to foster the development of the new approach to life in every member of the group, particularly now that we have entered the critical phase in this period of human existence. The new approach to life is the paramount necessity. It must be adopted by all for the good of all. We hope and pray that you will realize this and join us in doing everything you can to protect the astral purity and integrity of the living body.